Today's part four of our series that we're doing, and represented by these four simple icons. The first one, of course, was the explanation of Palm Sunday. The second one, as we look to the Last Supper, the Redeemer explained. Then the third one that we looked at recently, this past week, of the Redeemer expressed on the cross and what he did for us. And then finally, today, the Redeemer exhibited, and that is the Resurrection Sunday and what it means. The focus this year has been on the redemption, the journey to redemption. We've been looking at Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, and what it means. And that word itself is an expression that was understood by early Christians and the people of the time, because it was a common term used in understanding slavery. To redeem means to buy out. And so to buy out somebody is to pay whatever debt was upon them, that they may be set free from their slavery. And that is an expression used to describe what Jesus had done for us. And that's what this is all about. That's what the journey to redemption is about. He bought us out. He paid our sin debt and bought us out from slavery so that we can be free, that we can be free from it. Today, the Redeemer exhibited. We're talking about the resurrection. Someone once asked what was more important, Jesus' death on the cross or the resurrection? What's the most important aspect of the gospel here? The death on the cross and what he did, or is it the resurrection itself? And of course, we must understand that both are essential. You can't really have one without the other. There would be no resurrection if there wasn't first the cross, if there wasn't first the sacrifice and the death of Christ. But likewise, without the resurrection, then we would just be honoring a good man who taught many people good things. And that's all it would be. The resurrection changes everything. It makes our faith in Jesus Christ not in vain. It changes everything. At the cross, God had a specific purpose. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. At the cross, God had a specific purpose. Paul writes, "For he made him," this is the first he is God, the second he is Jesus. "God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Okay, so that was God's purpose of the cross. Jesus became sin for us. Last week we saw when Jesus hung on the cross, one of the words he says was, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? Because God made him sin for us. And Jesus became sin on our behalf when he hung on the cross. He was that lamb sacrifice that took our sin upon him. And so God turned away from him. The fellowship with Jesus and the Father was broken at that time because he became sin for us. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. He did it to secure us righteous standing before God, that we may become righteous. That was the purpose of the cross. The resurrection is equally important. There's so much that hinges on the resurrection. There's so much that is important that the resurrection have taken place. In John chapter 11, John writes in verse 25, well, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Jesus is making a guarantee here. He knew what he was here to do. He understood the Father's reasoning here, that he might become sin for us, that we might be righteous before God. He understood this. And so he makes this promise to his disciples. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. He shall have eternal, everlasting life. Now, this would make no sense without the resurrection. This wouldn't carry much importance without the resurrection. The resurrection changes everything. Our faith is affirmed by his resurrection, that when we believe in him, though we die, we shall live. Why? Because of the resurrection. Because Jesus has shown and it's been demonstrated that he is the resurrection and the life. He conquered death, and he displayed that at the resurrection. And so that gives us a greater confidence in his promise when he says, whoever believes in me, though he die, he shall live. Just as he did. He demonstrated it after the cross on that third day. So as the Redeemer is exhibited to us on this day, what do we see in regards to the resurrection? First of all, I want to say that the resurrection is the core of the Christian message. The resurrection is the core of the Christian message. That's our message. Christ is risen again. That's the Christian message. Sometimes when the gospel is preached, the focus remains on the cross. Jesus died for your sins. He died. And the resurrection sometimes is ignored, or perhaps sometimes it's just assumed, or sometimes just briefly mentioned in passing, and he rose again the third day. But as we see and hear the preaching of the early Christians and the apostles in the book of Acts, we see that they emphasize the resurrection over and over again. And the cross in his death is mentioned, but it's brief, but the focus is always on the resurrection of Christ. Jesus died, and Peter in Acts 2 pointed out to them that you crucified him. But the emphasis was always, he's resurrected. God has made him Lord of all. He has risen again. He didn't stay in the grave. That is the focus of the Christian gospel message and needs to stay the focus. After Christ went back to heaven, after his resurrection, we call it the ascension. This was in Acts chapter 1. The remaining apostles got together, and they began to talk, and they said, we need to replace one of us. Which one did they have to replace? Judas. This wasn't long after Judas had betrayed Jesus, and he went out and hung himself. And so they said, you know, we need to replace him. And so they got together, and were talking about it, and they cast their lots, which is they put in their vote of who it should be. And then in Acts chapter 1 verse 21, Peter speaking to the group, he says, therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. Now notice carefully, they weren't needed to be a witness of his death. But he says, one of them must be a witness of the resurrection, like us, who's been with Jesus and can be a witness of the resurrection itself. There were many witnesses of his death. Many people saw him die. But he says, we need to have someone replace Judas, one of us who was a witness of the resurrection as well. Because that's the gospel message. Christ isn't dead. He is risen again. And by the way, who did they choose at that time? Matthias. In chapter 4, we see Peter and John. They're in trouble with certain leaders for preaching and stirring up the people. They got in trouble frequently. And they were brought before the council to give a scolding to and to give an account for why they're doing what they're doing. And notice what's said in Acts chapter 4, verse 2. Being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They didn't mind them preaching about Jesus dying. But man, when it came to the resurrection of the dead, wait a second. And this was a problem for them. And they didn't want them speaking of this. Jesus died. He was crucified. They buried him. That's the end of it. But John and Peter were going around preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he's not dead anymore. He had victory over death. And they said, we can't have this. In verse 33, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The resurrection is core to the Christian message, core to the gospel message. Paul later spoke, this was after Paul's conversion, of course, but later in Acts chapter 17, he was speaking to the Greeks in Athens on Mars Hill at the Areopagus, and he was sharing the gospel message with them. And he spoke a wonderful message, and he got their attention. In Acts 17, verse 32, and when they had heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, we will hear you again on this matter. So he was preaching many things, but when he got to the resurrection, wait a second, this is different. This isn't just Greek philosophy. This is a radical different message that you're preaching here. And some of them mocked. Some of them says, we'll talk more about this later. A couple of verses later, it does say, but some of them believed and they followed. They became believers and the church was established. A small start of the church in Greece at the time was begun. And sadly, though, often, for some reason, the church gets excited about the resurrection about once a year. In reality, the reason we meet on Sundays, not Saturdays, is the resurrection. Jewish believers, their day of worship was Saturday, the Sabbath day, the seventh day. 6 days shall you work, on the seventh day you rest. Christians met on the first day of the week. Why? That is the resurrection Sunday. That was when Christ rose from the dead. And throughout the New Testament, we read reference to them of meeting on the first day of the week. Every week is resurrection Sunday. Christians across many different denominations may disagree on many things. And there's many particular doctrines that we don't agree on. But there's one thing that Christians across many spectrums must and do agree on, and that is the empty tomb. It is core to the Christian gospel message. Paul's clear promise in Romans chapter 10. Verse 9, read this with me if you would. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is the gospel message. Confess with our mouth Jesus. That is, he's the Lord. He's in charge. He is who he says he was. He is the Messiah. He is God in the flesh. And believe in your heart in what? The resurrection. That he died for your sins, yes, but he didn't stay dead. That wasn't the end of it. He rose again to secure us righteous standing before God, to give us eternal life and victory over death as well. This is core to the Christian gospel message. You here with me this morning, I dare say most all of you here, are here because you have put your faith in this message. At some time you heard the gospel itself. But key to this whole message is the resurrection of Christ. He didn't stay in the grave. We don't just remember a good man who taught many good things and then passed away and we just mourn his passing. We serve a risen Savior who conquered death, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but also have everlasting life. The second thing I want us to see is the resurrection purchased our justification. It's the resurrection. Oh, the cross, I'm not taking away from the cross. I don't want to take away from it. As we said, the cross was necessary. Without the cross, there wouldn't have been a resurrection. But we need to understand the importance of the resurrection. Talk to most Christians about justification and they'll usually move straight to the cross. The cross brings us justification. But listen carefully. Justification is more than just the absence of guilt. Yes, our sins are paid for. They're wiped out at the cross. Jesus shed his blood for our sins. But being justified is more than just having sins paid for. Jesus did so much more than that. We've heard the statement that being justified means God sees me justified, never sinned. Have you heard that statement before? To be justified means it's just if I'd never sinned. It's a nice thought and a play on words. But I would take it a little farther. And because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, I would add to that, that being justified means just if I have lived a holy life. He makes us holy, not just cleanses us from our sins and, well, there you're forgiven. But he takes you and clothes you with his righteousness and makes you a holy, righteous person. Romans 3:25, speaking of Jesus who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised for because of our justification or for our justification. That's what that because means here. For it. So he was delivered up because of our offenses. He was put on the cross because of our sin. But he was raised because of or for our justification. To give us a righteous, holy standing before God. So get this. Jesus was our punishment substitute in his death. We understand this. This one's easy to understand. You deserve punishment from God. Jesus says, wait, I'll take it for him. And he went to the cross for us. So he was our punishment substitute. But we have to know he was also our new life substitute in his resurrection. Because of his resurrection, we have resurrection life in him. We died with him. We have new resurrection life with him. He's our substitute. Just as in Adam, he was our substitute and we all sinned and we all inherited death. But in Christ, he died for us, our substitute, but he also resurrected. And he was our substitute in that as well. And now in him we have that resurrection. Because of this, we have some assurances. First of all, because of his resurrection and the justification it brings, it gives us great comfort. Why? A dead hero in the grave cannot help us. Someone who died and stayed in the grave cannot be a help to us, but a risen Savior gives us something else. Hebrews 13:5. Read this one with me, please. I'm sure you've heard it before. 13:5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So what kind of comfort is that if the one who said that is in the grave? I will never leave you or forsake you. And he left us. This was written to Christians after the resurrection to remind them of this promise. He will never leave you or forsake you. A dead Savior cannot do this. The comfort that we have is no matter what we face, no matter what we are going through, no matter what trials and tribulations we have in this life, he will never leave us. He won't forsake us. And we have that confidence because we understand he's not dead. He's not in the grave. He is resurrected. We serve and worship a resurrected Savior. Great comfort in this world. And we need that. People need that. Christians, we need that. But secondly, we have a great confidence. Confidence in many things. Confidence in he is putting together his church. In Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said, I am building my church. And he continues to do that. Why? Because of the resurrection. He could not do this if he stayed in the grave. But he rose. And then in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Jesus says, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. Because of the resurrection, we are overcomers. Jesus overcame the grave. He conquered it. He conquered the worst enemy that we face, death. And his promise is, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Because he conquered the grave, we have that confidence in him. I'm reminded of an old hymn, Faith is the Victory, written by John Yeats in 1891. You know Faith is the Victory? No. The verse says, encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory, we know, that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. We have this confidence that we have victory in Jesus Christ. He had victory over the grave. We have victory in him. Thirdly, we see it gives us an eternal hope. Paul, writing to the Thessalonian brothers and sisters, he encouraged them in chapter 4, verse 13. He says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers and sisters, or brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. He says, I don't want you to not understand some things. Be ignorant. I don't want you to misunderstand. Concerning those, that is, brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep, who have died, I don't want you to be stressed about that and sorrow as others. Who are the others? Those outside of Christ. Okay? I don't want you to stress and be anxious and sorrow as those who have no hope. We're in Christ. We have victory. We have resurrection life in Him. That is our inheritance. That is what He secured for us. And so it's different for the Christian. What was the basis? Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died, not just that He died, but and rose again. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. The basis of our confidence and that we don't sorrow like others do is the resurrection. He died and rose again. And because of that, we know He will take care of our brothers and sisters who have died before us. They're not going to miss out on the things that are coming, on the things later. They're going to be a part of it. And so we have this eternal hope. And the third thing I want to emphasize this morning is the resurrection unites every Christian. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 45. So it is written, the first Adam became a living being, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The first Adam was Adam and his lovely wife, Eve, in the garden. He became a life-giving spirit. We all come through him. That's how God established the human race. He didn't create individually each person after Adam. We all came through him. But the last Adam, that was Jesus Christ, he became a life-giving spirit. Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of God, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. The first Adam became a living being. The last Adam, Christ, became a life-giving spirit, which we all share through faith together. We all share His life. And as such, we become a special, unique family. That special, unique family, we just refer to as the family of God. We sing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And if that particular song I'm thinking of, the verse says something like, you may notice we say brothers and sisters around here. Because we're a family and our love is so dear. Why are we a family? Because we share this life. Because the last Adam became that life-giving spirit. Because Jesus says, whoever believes in Him will, though he die, yet shall he live. And we are a special family. We're part of the human family because the first Adam and all the first Adam was created in God's image. And so we respect and honor that human dignity of all. But there is a specialness about being part of this family of God through the last Adam. And by faith, we are brought into that family. By faith, we are justified, made righteous, given that standing before God, and we are given this eternal life. We're the family of God. And finally, one more thing I want to add is that power of the resurrection. The power that God used in the resurrection is the same power that He uses to change us daily and to work in our lives all the time. One more verse, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Would you like to say this one more time with me? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places? That same power. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? The same power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Do you see here the connection? The same power, God's amazing power, is at work in us who believe, those of us who have trusted Christ, who are part of the family of God, who are part of the last Adam, the life-giving spirit. We've been made anew. We're new creations in Christ. We're not perfect. We are perfect in our standing before God. But we're not perfect in our day-to-day outcome. And he's working in us. He's changing us. And he develops, as we submit to him, our attitudes and our thoughts and our words and our actions, and this is all part of what he is doing in us. And how do we explain it? We can't explain it by I'm trying hard. If you do, then you're missing it and you're going to live a defeated Christian life. But we explain it because the same power that God worked in and used for the resurrection is the same power that is given to us as God works in us. A new work and a special work in our lives and our hearts. This is the power of God, and it's at work in us just like it was at work raising Christ from the dead. The resurrection is vital and it changes everything. The resurrection is the core of the Christian message. The cross was absolutely necessary. But without the resurrection, it would have just been another man who died on a cross. For there were many. We've seen the resurrection purchased our justification. It wasn't just about the cross that paid for our sins, but the resurrection gave us justification and declared us as though we had never sinned, and we are righteous before God. We are not just forgiven of past deeds and given clean slates to start over again, else we mess it up and, you know, go back the way we were. It's not that. We are also declared righteous forever. We are made and declared holy. And finally, we see the resurrection unites all believers. We are a family. We are brothers and sisters, not only because we are part of the first Adam, but now we are part of the second, the life-giving spirit, and we are different. Praise the Lord for the resurrection. Praise the Lord for the redemption, the Redeemer. He has set us free. I'd like to ask you to stand with me, if you would, please. Let's have a time of bowing our heads, closing our eyes, please. Thank you. My friends, the resurrection is a core part of the Christian gospel. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is the Lord, That means that he is the Redeemer, he is the Messiah, he is the one that God promised to be your sin substitute. If you confess with your mouth, yes, he's the Lord. But also believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the resurrection. He didn't just teach some good things and die. He rose again. You will be saved. This is God's promise to us. How about you? Have you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord? And have you also believed that God raised him from the dead? If you can affirm that, would you raise your hand this morning, this Easter morning, 2021? Yes, Jesus, I've confessed he's my Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. And I have eternal life through that. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, amen. So many. And I expect that because we're a church. We're a church of called out believers. We're a family. We're part of the family of God. Is there anybody, though, in your heart, you really know that you can't raise your hand? You're not sure of that. Maybe you've done church things in the past, or maybe even, you know, present. You know quite a lot about the Bible. You know some stories. You heard about Jesus, that he died for you. But you haven't really confessed with your mouth that he is the Lord of all and believed that his resurrection secured your eternal life too. You're not sure about that. But this morning you are concerned about that. This morning God is speaking to your heart, telling you you must trust in him. You must repent of your own self, your sin, your ways, your self-focus. And you must trust in what Jesus Christ has done for you, the last Adam. If that's you this morning, Pastor Ken, I'm not sure about my salvation, honestly. But I am interested. I am concerned about this. Would you pray for me? With every eye closed, is there anyone who would be honest and say, yes, that's me, Pastor Ken. Pray for my relationship with God. I'm just not sure right now of this. Would you raise your hand quietly with no one else looking? No other reason except you believe God is speaking to your heart right now. Would you raise your hand where you are? Pray for me, Pastor Ken. I'm concerned about this issue, this important issue. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. If God is speaking, you must respond. Respond today. No better day than right now. No better day to respond than right now. Christian, this is the time. I mean, like I said, every week is Resurrection Sunday. But this is the time that we set aside and say, God, thank you for the resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for all that it has done for us. He is worthy of all our praise, all of our adoration, all of our thanks, all of our life. Praise the Lord. Give him thanks in your heart. Amen. Thank you, Father, for the resurrection. The resurrection changes everything. With the resurrection, the promises of Christ make sense. He will never leave us or forsake us. He is the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in him will, though he die, yet shall he live. Lord, these are promises that we can hang on to because of the resurrection. The resurrection has secured us justification. We are just before you because of the resurrection. Jesus paid for it all. Thank you, Father. Now, as Christians, Lord, we remember this day in particular and say thank you for the resurrection. If there's anybody here or watching online who is not sure of their own salvation, I pray today would be their day of salvation. Continue to work in that person's heart. Bring them to the Savior. May they come to Him in faith. Confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. And believe in their heart that God raised Him from the dead. And may they be saved too. Thank You for this time. In Jesus' name. Please take a seat for a moment.
Thank You for the message this morning. The Redeemer exhibited through the power of the resurrection. If you have your bulletins, just a few quick announcements to share with you this morning. Next Sunday, the 11th of April, we go back to our regular schedule, which means 9 o'clock Sunday school. We also have the new members class going on at 9 o'clock as well. 10 o'clock worship service and junior church. So that starts back next Sunday. Right after the worship service this morning, you're all invited to stay around for the breakfast time. So there's some really nice foods that's been prepared, and we'd like for you to stay and enjoy this with us. Also, our missionaries that we're praying for, Jason and Valencia Gell, continue to remember them this week. Pray for them as often as the Lord would lay them upon your heart. And then our other missionaries' letters are posted in the back as well. That's all of the announcements for this morning. Perhaps you're celebrating a birthday or an anniversary, and we'd like to celebrate with you. Anyone with a birthday coming up this coming week? Anyone with birthdays? Come up, Vanji. Anyone else with birthday? How about wedding anniversaries? Do we have any wedding anniversaries this week? No? No other birthdays? No wedding anniversaries? Let's stand together. We're going to sing Happy Birthday, and then we'll be dismissed in prayer. Happy birthday.
And Helen, happy birthday, ladies. Well, let's give thanks, and we'll give thanks for the food that we're about to receive. I think they should be ready. If they're not, they will be very shortly. So be sure to stay, enjoy some fellowship around the breakfast table, and have a great day. It's not even 9:30 yet. We're never done before 9:30 on Sundays. Aren't you glad you came early then? Now you have a whole day to enjoy with the family. Let's pray, though, and enjoy some of the day with your church family. Thank You, Father, for the food that we're about to receive, for the hands that help put it together, Lord. May we truly be thankful for their labor and their service. Thank You, Father, for the resurrection and what it means and what we have through it. May we, Lord, never forget the emphasis of the resurrection. And whenever we speak of the cross, may we also speak of the resurrection that followed. He didn't just die. Jesus wasn't just crucified, but He was rose again by the power of God for our eternal life, for our justification. Thank You for this fact. In Jesus' name, and we say, amen. God bless. You're dismissed.